A look at Connecticut high school football action. Sunday morning quarterback on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
We've got the season finale, and we are brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Dutchess Restaurants, fresh food, serve fast. Well, we put the bow on the high school sports season yesterday, and the FCAC, as we expected, won, and won big and won resoundingly. New Canaan, for the fourth straight year, a state champion after a 34-13 win over Cheshire. And Greenwich then, in an even more punishing display, totally took Southington apart 45-6 and won its second straight state title. And joining us a little later, we're going to have the New Canaan captains. I'm not sure if we're going to have all five, but we're going to have some of them. And then I know we'll have two of the Greenwich captains, Richie McMurray and Colin Fowler, joining us, as well as those two schools are going to make up most of our discussion, other than when we put the bow on the season, and helping me doing the gift wrapping, as he has all year, and much to my appreciation, is Sean Ireland. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave. A little snowed in right now, but doing all right.
Yeah, I had no idea. I'm trying to make arrangements for people to be together, and I'm laying in bed. I saw we had snow, and I assumed it's flurries, and I'm laying in bed while I'm just texting and stuff. And then I got up, and it's like, it's not terrible out, but it's sloppy and much more snow than I anticipated. And from the football standpoint, good thing it happened today and not yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing about the timing of it, Dave, is like, I don't have to do the driveway because of this show for another hour and a half. So thank you for that.
No problem. I'm hoping I can get up and down the driveway today without any issues. And then I go home, I watch football, and then I am a boys basketball preview and the All Rudin Report team, which you can maybe help me out with later, away from a couple of weeks off, which are much needed, and I'm really looking forward to. Did you, I didn't even ask you, did you watch either or both of the games yesterday?
So I was following the New Canaan game. The Greenwich game, I recapped at the end. I had we had plans well in advance set, so my wife and I. So I when I got home late at night, I just recapped it, but I did see the New Canaan game.
Yeah, unfortunately, just for logistic purposes, excuse me, I didn't see any of the Greenwich game. I followed on social media, but I did the earlier game, and I came home so that I could write my story and post everything and then be ready when Jeff Jacobs turned in his Greenwich story to me. So I didn't get to see anything. And obviously, I didn't miss much. From an FCX standpoint, the biggest surprises, if there were any, happened Tuesday in the semifinals rather than yesterday. I didn't really expect either game to be close. I thought, and we both said, I thought the Greenwich game might be a little bit closer than it was. I actually thought the New Canaan game, and it almost was, would have been more like a Greenwich-Southington score. But I didn't expect either game to, either of the favorites to really be challenged, and neither were.
Yeah, Dave, as we said, as we talked this morning, I thought the same thing. I thought Greenwich was going to win handily, but not that handily. You know, I just thought Southington, they were a very hot team coming in. I thought maybe they would put something together. But man, was I wrong. That was as dominant of a championship football game that I have ever seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, they would have stopped the fight early in that one. And, you know, with New Canaan, they're up 7-0. And if you have to sum up Andrew Esposito's career in a play, and not making one where he scored, their quarterback, Cheshire quarterback, breaks a long run. Looks like he's going to go 74 yards for a touchdown. And Esposito chases him down, strips him of the ball. New Canaan recovered. I thought it was just an unbelievable play. The referees said that the runner was down by contact and let Cheshire maintain the ball, and then they went in and scored. But you do that, you take away a touchdown, and at the very end of the game, you have a new Kanan interception, and Schwartz could have gone into the end zone for a score, and Wisely slid down on about the 5-yard line so new Kanan could run out the clock. So it easily could have been a 41-6 game otherwise, but it didn't really matter. We might as well start with that one. Actually, well, let's start with that, and then we can go back. But, you know, I don't even know what to say. I called it the new Kanan greatest hits, and that's really what it was. Yeah, a strong running attack with over 180 yards, and Finn Bakko playing the Henry Stein role with over 160 yards and a couple of scores. And they couldn't stop the ground game. New Kanan didn't really need to pass the ball too much and didn't do that. I'm getting my stats up here. You know, New Kanan rushed for 188 yards, and Mako went for 162 and a couple of scores right off the bat there. And the defense is just so good. I mean, they just I don't know what else to say. And the 13 points given up were tied for a season high. But you just watch those linebackers swarming to the ball. And the pass rush, Ryan Francis is just a great defensive tackle. And you look, he's got Dexter Lawrence in him, the way he's clogging up a couple of blockers and making it easier for the linebackers. And you got the secondary. You got guys who are going two ways in a real change. When you got guys like Koch and Esposito and James McInerney. And, you know, it's just fun to watch their defense play.
Yeah, the thing with them, Dave, and we've been saying it forever. They're just very well coached. They're coachable kids. And when you have coachable kids, and then you add on top of it how big and how fast and how physical they are, that's a recipe for disaster for any team going against them. They are never in the wrong spot. They're always where they need to be. They make the tackles. They're never outflanked. They're never outcoached. And then, like I said, you put their physical aspects along with that, combine those two. That's just a heck of a defense to go against. And it showed all year with the most points, you know, it was 13. And, you know, I'm sure that was in garbage time. So that's the best defense in the state. I don't care what any other team says. They're the best defense in the state.
I agree. I agree fully. And that's no disrespect to a lot of good defenses out there. But they are the best defense in the state. And after Cheshire scored, they took it as a personal affront.
Yeah,
in the way they shut them down afterwards. But I'll tell you what, and I got a glimpse of it earlier in the week, but when you tell the story, number one, Lou almost said this is the best team he ever had. He was on the brink of it. I think if you put a gun to his head, he would say this is the team he liked the most. People are going to look at my headline, and I put, yeah, the headline is New Kanan burns a shoe, and people are going to wonder what that is. If you want to look at what made this New Kanan team so special, and they're 13-0, they're going to be voted tomorrow the number one team in the state for the second straight year, 4 straight titles, 16 for Marinelli. This senior class went 49-3, but they have a tradition. It's called the burning of the shoe, and they do it after the last practice, and they get an old shoe, and every senior goes around and says whatever they want to say. As Lou said, they could say, you know, Marinelli stinks, he's a horrible coach, but they're allowed to say whatever they want, and then when it's all done, they burn a shoe, and the symbolism is nobody's going to ever fill these guys' shoes again. And Lou said, and the players said it after, he's never seen so many of his players crying and tearing up. And I'm sure people read about it in my stories and are tired of hearing about the team bond. But the team bond really was the extra component that made this team special. And it's something, when we get the New Kanan players on, I want everybody to hear it from them and not just me as a vehicle of being their voice, because It's hard to really put into words how much love these guys had for each other, have for each other, and how much that meant to their success this year.
Yeah, I mean, in any team sport, not just football, but especially football, any team sport, you have to have that camaraderie. Because if you don't, then the finger pointing starts. And when the finger pointing starts, that just starts to crack. And the next thing you know, the whole ship goes down. So a very important aspect of being a championship team, of being a very good team, is loving the people that you're playing with. You know, you're not just it's an old cliche. I'm not just playing for myself. I'm playing for the people around me. And they solidified that. You know, you could tell just by watching them play. Now, Dave, I never met any of these kids. I talked to them a couple times on your show, but you could just tell, I could tell by the way they play that they truly care about the people, everybody on the team. And it's very apparent just by watching them play.
I'll tell you the other component, and I had talked to Lou about going behind the scenes and following them for the entire championship week, and the logistics to do it right, I would basically not be able to do anything else and really follow them. But I mean, this is really unique. They have a leadership council, and it's captains, the captains. It's at least four people from each of the four classes, and the non-captains are voted on. Like, there are four freshmen that are a part of this, and they meet weekly throughout the season. Dave Mastriani, the old Daniel Hand coach, who has some leadership classes, he oversees this. And I sat in on this Tuesday after they got back from media day, and I'd never seen anything like this. The best way to call it is football team therapy. It was almost like a psychiatry group therapy session, and it was the last one. And all these guys are expressing their feelings and feelings like in the old day where you would have teased them. And they're totally at ease sharing their feelings, what makes them special. And Lou said, again, how important this also is to the team's success. And in this room, a freshman is no different than the captain of the varsity team. And to sit there and watch this was so unique. I said something to Jay Egan, the athletic director, out in the New Canaan sideline yesterday about it. And he said, you know what? We're looking into doing this for every sports team. I don't know. Maybe there are some teams that do something like this. I've never heard of it. But I was just floored by it and wrote a story on it. And again, another component. And just all these things New Canaan does. It's all about team bonding. It's all about players becoming better people and men, and I was just floored by it. Again, it's something else that makes the New Canaan football program so unique.
Well, you just said the key word in that last sentence there, Dave, program. You know, that you got to do things to build a program, not just a team. You don't want to be solid for 1 year. You want to be solid year in, year out. And I've never done that. It sounds like a tremendous idea. It sounds like it's working. But again, it all revolves around the P word, program. And that's what Lou and his entire staff and the entire community, you know, they already have it well developed, but it's all about the program, not just individuals, about everybody involved. And that's a tremendous idea.
All right, why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Greenwich's win yesterday. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's get back to the action. The Rooten Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back. And before we start getting some guests on, let's go over to the Greenwich game and reading the story that Jeff Jacobs wrote for me. It sounds like, again, Greenwich defense was just really... they were hurting people, literally were knocked one or two people out of the game. They were hitting so hard. You know, Greenwich did this last year, and they did again. not that they're not focused during the season. You know, they had two losses. They lost to New Canaan 14-7, a close game, competitive game when they're both 1-2 in the state. And then they lost a 7-3 game to Wilton when they went up and down the field and they didn't score. That's one that you could say they let get away. But something happens to this team, and they did it last year, where they just get so laser-focused. And they didn't just win games during the state playoffs. They were blowing people out, not knocking everybody around. I think it's just that they get hyper-focused once the postseason comes around. And, tribute to Greenwich. Maybe the most dominant performance by any of the state champions.
Yeah, I think Jack Kelly just scored another one.
Got his fifth.
Yeah, they outscored their opponents. I just did it right here. I've written down 117-23 throughout the playoffs. But again, if you listen to Coach Morello's interview after the game, even after the semifinal game in this one. He says that he's like, the regular season, that's just an audition. We're putting pieces together. We're like, it's an audition for the playoffs. So it's almost like, hey, all right, this is what works well. This is what doesn't work well. And now the playoffs come. Okay, we're just going with our strengths right here. And obviously, everybody knows Grant's strength is running the ball. You know, they were pounding the ball all night. Phil Tarantino did have a good game, very efficient game. In a game that lopsided, he did great. Had a passing touchdown, rushing touchdown. But, like, I think Coach said it best. When we get to the playoffs, this is what we do. And try to stop us. And you can't.
Yeah, it's almost it's not that – I don't want to say he's accepting of a regular season loss, but he sees it as part of the progression to the postseason. And – the postseason's when you don't want to lose, and if you lose a game and they lost two, probably should have only lost one. If you learn from it and it's going to help you play better in December, I think he's a little bit more accepting of it, especially because both games were close games. I think if they played real poorly or made a lot of mistakes that really cost them the game. He would look at it differently, but it's all about those three state playoff games and making sure you're holding up the plaque like he was doing yesterday and he's done the last 2 years. And, yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting next year. We didn't have a lot of returning quarterbacks this year, but Tarantino and New Canaan's Maddox Hoffman both really grew throughout the year, and it's going to be interesting to see what both teams do next year when they have quarterbacks that are more experienced and that they're maybe the coaches are a little, it'll be a little easier for them to open up the reins a little bit more.
Absolutely. There's nothing more. There's nothing better than having a returning starting quarterback. There really isn't. Not saying that the backups are not prepared, but like it's just easier. You know, they know the system. They know what to expect. They know the reads now. They know everything that they're supposed to. Can they still get better? Of course they can. All right, but it's just a lot easier going into a season saying, okay, this is my guy last year. He's my guy this year. All right, let's just roll into it.
Yeah, other than St. Joe's with H.T. Jones and bouncing around Fairfield Wardhead, James Della Volpe back, but there are a lot of the best quarterbacks this year were, for the most part, all newcomers. Calabrese, Ryan Love. I think you got Nick Wallet Staples, another returning quarterback, but they were in the minority this year. It'll be interesting to. I mean, New Canaan's going to be. You can already book this. New Canaan will be the number one team in the preseason poll next year. You can lock that up, and I don't even I know they have a lot of non seniors on the team, so they're gonna still be good. But they do. This is a really really big and strong senior class. But You can make book on the fact that they're going to be the number one team in the preseason, Paul.
Yeah, of course. And Dave, I just got to give a shout out. I know I'm a homer, and I get it. But Easton Pace is also a returning quarterback, and he's someone to watch for.
I forgot that he – yeah, absolutely. I forgot that he started last year. It's he's another one that took a big step, and Norwalk's going to be the better for it. But you know what? Commonality, these just two really, really well-coached teams, maybe the two best coaching staffs from top to bottom around – those might be, those two might be, there are a lot of good staffs. I'd put, New Canaan's staff and Greenwich's staff are right up there with everybody. It's, you're a head coach. Everybody says it's true, a truism. If you don't have a good staff, you're in big trouble. Just talk as a former head coach, how important a staff is and how you could be the best head coach. You could be a Lou Marinelli, but if you don't have good assistants, you're not going to be Lou Marinelli.
And that's 100% true. It really is. You got to be able to trust the guys around you. Obviously, they need to know what they're doing, but they got to be on the same page. They got to have the same vision as you and all that stuff. Now, not only is Greenwich and New Canaan staff very good, they've been together forever. I was lucky enough, my 9 years there, the core of coaches were essentially the same my whole 9 years there, and that's huge. You're not teaching people your system, your philosophy, things like that. So New Canaan, those guys been together forever. Greenwich, those guys been together forever. So not only are they great coaches, they're loyal. They're there through thick and thin, and they're not going anywhere.
Why don't we take the break just a bit earlier, because the New Canaan captains have phoned in. I'm not sure if we have all five of them. We'll see who we have, but I know we'll probably have Andrew Esposito, Adrian Delicata, James McInerney, Mikey Harriman, Ryan Brooks. Hopefully we have all five of them. And we'll talk to them after this break. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and joining me right now, and these guys have been talking for a couple of weeks about how much they're going to miss playing together. And I have to admit, I'm going to miss covering them. I've covered teams where there's been this kind of combination of talent and class individuals, but not a lot of them. And these guys were a lot of fun. They gave me a lot of good things to write about, both on and off the field. And we got the captains of the New Canaan football team. Are all five of you there?
Yeah, we're all here.
All right. We got Andrew Esposito, Adrian Delicata, Ryan Brooks, James McInerney, and Mikey Harriman. How are you guys doing? I think we're having a phone issue. Hold on.
I'm back on, Dave.
Okay. Are the New Canaan guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, there they are. How are you guys doing right now? It's been not quite 24 hours. Huh? What's the mood like with you guys?
We're feeling amazing. We're very high right now.
high in emotion.
High in emotion.
We'll qualify that. I don't want to ruin your banquet this week with anything, but
we're still riding the high of the win.
that's a good way of putting it. Those of you I interviewed after the game, I said from a game standpoint, it was like the New Canaan greatest hits. Strong running game. Maddox Hoffman didn't have to throw a lot, but he did a good job when he did. And yeah, I was watching a lot on. I was focusing a lot on the defense and the linebackers were cracking people. Yeah, the defensive line led by Ryan Francis was in the backfield, and if you wanted to know what got you to 12-0, it all happened on the field yesterday. Somebody agree? Hello?
I'm here, Dave.
Okay, yeah. What? You guys agree it was like your greatest hits yesterday?
It was awesome, yeah. You saw a bunch of juniors step up and make plays. I mean, Jack Kroll with an amazing game. And I think we just had an amazing defensive unit. So got to display that. And then offensively, we just ran the ball well, did the fundamentals well, and it was a great time.
Yeah, Finn Mocco had a great game too.
Let me try to ask questions to different individuals. You know, if you look back on what makes this team so good talent-wise, but besides the natural athleticism, I'd point to two plays that maybe people aren't necessarily talking about. And, Andrew, you could answer this because you were involved in one of them. The quarterback, when he broke free and looked like he's going for a 76-yard touchdown, and you raced him down, stripped him of the ball. You can tell me. I think everybody thought it was a fumble. He was ruled down, but just the fact that you went after him and then was able to track him down. And the other play, and this is sort of a throwaway play, but it speaks to the new Canaan football IQ, was when Blake Schwartz interception with about 2 minutes to go, and he could have gone in and scored, and you guys would have all gone wild. But he went down on the 5-yard line, knowing you guys could just run out the clock and they'd never get the ball back. It just talks to how smart you guys are on the field.
Starting off with the fumble, I think everybody thought that was a fumble yesterday, including the team. But, the only reason I hawked him down, because it's really based on culture. Like, we're taught to do that. Nobody's taking plays off. We all want to try to kind of make the play for each other and not ourselves. We want to – I know if you run down there and tackle that kid, you'll have Brooksy and Kroll step up in the gap and not let him in for the touchdown. We've done it multiple times this year, so you kind of just got to give this defense a chance, and we'll make stuff happen.
Ryan and Mikey, talk about your part, you know, your half of this linebacking crew, and I wrote about you guys this week. What's it like when you guys are just so in sync and dominating? And all four of you were in there making big plays yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, when you're not in making the play, you know, it's either Brooksy or Ladley or Grayson will make the play. But, yeah, I think when we're all flying around and we're all having fun, it's a great time. And I'm just sad that, you know, I'm not going to be able to play with those boys again. But, you know, hopefully, you know, we see that same dominance at the linebacker position next year.
James, the team did let more guys go both ways than I can ever remember, especially with receivers playing in the secondary. You're one of those guys. What was it like being able to, Andrew also, what was it like? I'm Ryan, I'm sorry. Three captains playing on both sides of the ball. I don't know if that's ever happened at New Canaan before. What's it like getting that opportunity?
Yeah, I think all of us just want to be able to contribute to the team the best of our ability. We all want to be on the field at all times, you know, helping out wherever we can, you know, whether that's playing defense or offense. We just want to be out there and, doing whatever we can to help the team get the win.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was one of those games. I mean, last game that we'll ever play together, you want to be on the field the entire game, offense, defense, special teams. So really fortunate for that. We kind of put we were kind of all in yesterday, and that's why we were all going both ways.
Well, it was funny because people were not funny, but it was noteworthy that the final you guys didn't go all out celebrate until you got the plaque. That wasn't that joyous celebration. It was watching you guys on the field. You're in victory formation, and it was just hugging and handshakes. It was you guys tell me, especially those of you who are out there. Yeah, you know, what's going? My interpretation, it was A, job completed and well done, and B, I want to remember this because it's the last time we're going to be wearing helmets and on the field together.
Yeah, in the moment, you definitely want to be running and jumping around and celebrating the victory. But at the same time, it's hard to be so high when it's also a time where you're so low and it's your last time strapping up for New Canaan and it's, you're not going to wear that NC ever again. So that feeling of, you know, we just won the championship, but at the same time, you're not going out to practice, watching film. You're not lifting with Coach Miska or watching film with Coach Sly anymore. But it was a hard moment to balance. But in the end, you know, we got the job done, so you can't really have any more anything else to add.
I want to get to the team bond. Sean, I'll let you jump in because after I want to get to the team bond that we've talked about so much.
Okay. So I know all the guys, they get the credit deservingly. So, Adrian, are you here? Is Adrian here?
Adrian's there.
All right. Adrian, so the guys get all the credit, you know the all the skill guys. But, you know, when you rush for over, you know, close to 200 yards in a state championship game and the other teams know you run the ball, it has to start with the guys up front. How does it feel knowing that you're just imposing your will on the other team when they know what's coming?
Yeah, I mean, we went into this game knowing that they were more physical. They were a dirtier team. They hit late. They do a lot of extracurriculars after the whistle. But our coach Overbeck, our offensive line coach, Chapel Hill alum, actually played there and roomed with Jeff Saturday at Chapel Hill. He preaches violence every game. And, you know, he goes, we want 48 minutes of violence. And we really just want to let everyone know that we're here. We're going to come, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to do what we have to do to make sure we get the job done.
And then secondly, I know you guys have that goal line package when you're in the backfield. There's nothing in the playbook where they can hand you the ball? Nothing?
Earlier this year, I got a touchdown on senior night versus Stanford, but you know, last night would have been cool to get something in there too. But whatever I can do to get us in the end zone, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, well, guys, I don't know if you're listening before, but I said I truly mean it. I never met any of you guys, but I've never seen a team as tightly bound as you guys are. Like, you guys are legit not just playing for yourselves, but the people around you. And congratulations on number 16, 4 in a row. You guys deserve it. Number one team in the state.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay, I want to talk. I've written so much about the team bond, but I want everybody to hear it from you. I don't think I've ever had burning a shoe in the headline of a state championship win before. But I explained a little bit before about the tradition of the burning of the shoe. And you know, Lou Marinelli talked all before the game about how he never saw so many guys at this thing tearing up and getting emotional. I went to it about 10 years ago, so I've seen it before. I'll let you guys just go around and explain what it was and talk about what happened on Friday night.
Yeah, so the burning of the shoe is kind of basically we all sit around in a circle and light a cleat on fire, and all the seniors get to share like their favorite moments, why they love football so much. And all of our guys have been together since pretty much third grade. Nobody really leaves to go to private school and stuff like that. So we've been playing this game with each other for around 8 or 9 years. So we all go around, share our favorite memories and stuff like that, and it gets really emotional because – it really hits us that night. That's our last time playing with our boys.
Yeah, I mean, the burning of the shoe has got to be one of Coach Marinelli's most meaningful traditions that we hold at the high school. It's a time where you hear guys who you might not have spoke to too often during the season, or you might not hear about their personal life too much, and they're just out there pouring their hearts out. And then if you're not fired up enough to play the game the next day, hearing whatever you got to hear from these guys and what they're willing to share is really powerful, and it gets you fired up to play the next day.
I want you guys also, because a few of you are part of the leadership council, and I was telling people before, I was really blown away by it. I was surprised how at ease you guys were sharing emotions, and it was almost like football therapy session, and I've never seen anything like it. Just talk a little bit about how that contributes to a team bond, because I know the athletic director at the school is talking about maybe doing something like that with every team, and I got to think after watching it, I don't see how a team couldn't benefit by doing this.
Yeah, I think the leadership council has been super important for us this year. Coach Mastrojani has done a great job. We think representatives from each grade. And I think it really helps kind of like additional captains, additional coaches being able to spread the messages across the team. And I think since we started doing weekly meetings with the whole team, we kind of just able to hear what all the kids were thinking, you know, what they wanted to change about practice, what they wanted to keep going. So I think we were sort of able to hear from them, like, honestly, so they weren't, you know, afraid to say anything.
Yeah, and the other thing was we want to make sure everyone was on the same wavelength. So having a bunch of guys, everyone from each grade, be able to share their thoughts and ideas on practice and how everything's going was super important for us.
Were any of you were any of you on the been on the council several years?
Yeah, I was on for 2 years. I was on last year and this year. So I had to sort of see the development over the year and what Coach Mascheroni sort of taught us and preached towards us. And towards the end of the season, like when you came in, you realize that it's all about time and just getting that message out to the team at the end of the season during playoffs.
Adrian, you gave me the quote yesterday. You're never going to be able to. You talked about what you got out of playing football at New Canaan High School. What did you get out of it? And all you other guys can piggyback on that, what Adrian says, and just share your thoughts.
Yeah. So from the first day you step into the program at New Canaan High School, you're a freshman. We get a little, as freshmen, you get to start at 8 o'clock, but on varsity it's 6:30 summer lift, and you're lifting with Coach Miska three times a week. And that just really instills that work ethic that a lot of people try to develop. And just getting that through football really helped me with school and my volunteer work and stuff like that. that work ethic, something that you'll never get back, as well as just having the sense and the gratitude for community and just being a part of something that's bigger than yourself and working towards a larger goal with people who you love.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, in terms of character building, like football is pretty hard. You know, our preseason is at some points two or three a days. And I think that, you know, really allows us to be able to perform under pressure and when we're tired. And I think that, you know, carries over into all facets of life, both professional and then in your, you know, personal life.
49-3 as a senior class. It's just remarkable. One loss a season, the first 3 years, first undefeated teams at New Canaan since 2008. What's it meant to go unbeaten?
Yeah. I mean, Me and the other captains, you know, we were talking about this last night. And we think that, you know, we're definitely up there. You know, we'll kind of leave it up to the statisticians and, you know, all the other people that sort of, you know that stuff better than us. But, you know, we think we're definitely up there, if not the best New Canaan team of all time.
Yeah, I think like ever since we were named captains and right after last season, we're all looking forward to this year. We knew we had a bunch of guys coming back, a bunch of guys who really care about the team's success. And so, like, this was always a goal of ours. We knew we were going to have a tougher schedule than last year. We knew we just had to take each game 1 week at a time, stay healthy, and things would work out the way they should.
Last question, Andrew. Am I going to see you on the basketball court this winter?
I have a couple more doctor's appointments to see about my shoulder and to see if they think it would be smart to play. But I'm going to do everything I can to go out there and play if the doctors allow me. So hopefully.
Danny Melzer texted me and asked me if I asked you that yesterday. I said, I hadn't even thought about that. That wasn't the right time. I told him I'd ask you today.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for all the good stories. Thanks for, I hope down the road when you guys are together, I get to see as well, because it's been fun to watch from the outside and write about it. You guys are a great bunch of leaders, a great bunch of football players, and a great bunch of guys. Congratulations on all you accomplished, and thanks for taking a few minutes here to share it with everybody.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the New Canaan football captains, we're going to take a break, and Sean and I will be back. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Expert analysis and all things high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and thanks to the Rams captains. I can write about it, but it's better when you hear it from them. And Sean, you got the view there about what makes these guys so good off the field, and you can just watch the tape to see what makes them good on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like I said before, Dave, you know, I've never met these young men before, but you could just tell by watching them and by just talking to them, like, you know, how much the game means to them and how much the bond of their friendships mean to them. You know, and this is a bond that's going to last them for the rest of their lives.
Yep. You know, there are a lot of teams, really close teams with really good kids this year. The Wilton football team, very similar. The Greenwich football team. I could probably find some of the same sort of stories that I just didn't know that I found about New Canaan and St. Joseph. All these top teams were really, really close, and there's definitely, you're a former coach, there's definitely a correlation between team closeness and team success.
Of course. There's no doubt about it. If the team is tight-knit, they're going to do better because they're not caring about individual stats. They're not worried about, oh, this kid got a catch, that kid got a catch, I didn't, you know. You know, they're just putting the team first, and whenever that happens, you know, you're going to have more success, no doubt about it.
Yeah, first time we're on since the semifinals, and I guess if there were any surprises, the one big surprise was that St. Joseph wasn't playing yesterday. They suffered a 6-3 loss to Brookfield, and the defense did exactly what you wanted. And the offense just had a miserable day, and I think everybody in FCAC land was surprised. And then the Wilton, a 21-20 loss to a very good Bunnell team. No shame there, but a couple of fumbles, especially one early in the game when they're going in to score. That it's a tough way for them to go out. And Bunnell had a good showing yesterday against Windsor. I would have loved to have seen a Wilton Windsor game, but we didn't talk. I know we thought there was a good chance we would have four champions. Got two, and St. Joe's in particular was the biggest surprise.
Yeah, St. Joe's, not only that they lost, but how they lost. You know, like if you told me St. Joe's is not going to score a touchdown, I would have told you're crazy. But that's exactly what happened. They didn't score. Brookfield's defense, they came up huge, you know, and they were giving them fits all day. I agree with you with the Wilton. If they score, if they punch it in there without turning the ball over, I think it's a completely, completely different game. I really do. But unfortunately, that's the game. You know, you got to play it. And I think if St. Joe's won, I think they win the state championship. And I think if Wilton won, it would have been a tough game. It would have been. After seeing Windsor for the first time, man, they're pretty good.
That was a pick'em game. That was a pick'em game. Wilton certainly could win, but it was certainly no gimme. I don't know how much time we'll have after we have the Greenwich guys on as we wrap things up, but I started thinking about my all Rudin report team, which I pick my all-star team, and I look what I did last year, and because there's disproportion at certain positions in terms of who you put, I did a top 30 list. And if people are saying it's a cop out, just think of this: I have a 3-4. How do I pick four linebackers? Just look at we're talking New Canaan and Greenwich. You got six linebackers there without even talking about any other linebackers in the league. How How do you pick between all those guys and pick a four best?
But that's why you get paid the big bucks, Dave. I couldn't do it. I agree with what the FCAC did a couple of years ago. They, instead of making an all FCAC team, they just honored the best, I think it was 40 players in the league. I think it's a little too much, but that's a topic for another time.
Yeah, they also put like one player from every team on there, and that, you know, that's keeping everybody happy. I, you know, the All-Star team should be the very best of the best.
Yeah. So I'm all for picking the top 30 if you want to do that. That's okay. Because there's players that get left out, unfortunately. You know, there was a year, you know, I think we had four quarterbacks make all FCAC, and I remember the press was going nuts. You know, how do you have four quarterbacks? Well, in that class, we had a kid who got a full ride to Notre Dame, and the Gatorade Player of the Year was on Greenwich. So who are you going to pick out of those two? So I agree with picking the top kids in the league. Who cares what position they play? Who are the 30 best kids in the league?
Well, I'm just off the top of my head, running backs. There aren't anywhere near as many running backs at the level of linebackers. So, again, you know, people may say that I'm copping out. Well, if that's a cop-out, yeah, I'd rather recognize, you know, if the fifth best linebacker is not much better than the second or third best running back, I don't even know how I've got a list and I have no idea how I'm going to break it down. But, you know, just yesterday you're watching Ryan Brooks and Mikey Harriman and Jack Crowell out there. And you're saying, you know, how they're your three linebackers. And then you go out and you watch the Greenwich guys and Sani Parra, who will definitely be on the team. And Kelly and Carroll, and it's like, well, how do you not pick any of them? it's gonna be tricky, but I think I have to do something like that because there are just too many good people. And the position that's hard for me because harder now, and I'll talk to people is just doing line and offensive line in particular because in this day and age, and I hate it. But you have to take videos of games, and you're not keeping stats, and you're not watching offensive line play like when you were sitting in the press box. So it makes it hard. We're going to take a break here, and on the other side, as we home stretch the season, we'll have Colin Fowler and Richie McMurray of the Greenwich football team. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school football. The Rudin Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back. The final half hour here of the season. And joining me right now, we had, basically, I can make this introduction easy. Everything I said about the new Canaan captains and kids, I'll say the same exact thing about the Greenwich captains and kids. Just really, really talented players, really, really good kids that you want to be around and that are role models. And for the second straight year, Class Double L champions after punishing, and punishing is the right word, 45-6 win over Southington. And joining me right now are two of the captains, Colin Fowler and Richie McMurray. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was always happier when teams I cover win. So, first of all, congratulations. What's it like when you not only do you win, but you're as dominant as you were?
Yeah, I mean, we worked for this all year. This is the goal. And it was a state championship. And the defense played really well. They were really physical last night. And that's what we preach every day. And to dominate like that, I think it was I'm pretty sure it was the largest point margin in state chip history. So it means a lot for us to dominate like that and have a great playoff run.
I mean,
yeah,
you guys,
I definitely,
go ahead.
All right. I definitely knew like that's something we could do coming into this game, but I'm glad the team put our minds to it and made that dream come true.
This happened last year too, and I don't mean to imply that you guys aren't focused during the regular season. You certainly are. But you guys just seem, both this year and last year, like you guys are just a different team in the postseason. Like you just take it to another level. Do you feel the same way? And can you explain the reasons?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when we get into the playoffs, we get into this mentality where it's do or die. Our backs are up against the wall, and we don't want to die. We never want to come out playoffs losing. So we have this mentality where we got to play for it all, because if we lose, that's it. It's all gone.
What's it like? And Richie, by the way, has been hurt all year. So he's unfortunately defensive lineman who's been sidelined and going to play at Sacred Heart next year. So he'll be local. But Colin and Richie, too, you guys just ran the ball right down their throats yesterday. And we asked New Canaan's Adrian Delicata before, but obviously offensive line, yeah, everybody's talking about Kelly and Hector Lopez, and they're not naming the five linemen, but when you guys are running the ball as efficiently and as dominantly as you did yesterday, what's that like for you guys?
I'll speak up. You go, Colin.
All right. I was just going to say, it makes me proud. All the linemen put in a lot of work. And, you know, sometimes it does go unnoticed. But to me and the five guys and Hector and Jack, they really appreciate it. And we know that. So when we have success on the ground, it means a lot. And that's the heart and soul of Greenwich football, is to run the ball. So,
Richie, what did, what's it like from you? You're almost like a coach out there. You've been, unfortunately, thrust into the role of coach, but having this whole year and watching from the side, has that given you a different view of Greenwich running game and offensive line play?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with Coach Cunningham, our offensive line coach, and the schemes we run up. You know, he takes it very seriously. He makes sure we're in meetings all the time, doing additional work outside of practice, and that hard work shows in the field. You know, when we've been running the ball as much as we have successfully, it's a rewarding process, because we know we put in that much work during the off season and in season, and it's all coming back, and it's like a full circle of karma moment where we put in all this work and we're having the returns that we want.
Going into this game, and Southington got off to a slow start and then really picked up momentum the second half of the season. Had a bunch of impressive wins, but after watching them on tape, did you get the feeling if you guys play your game, what happened yesterday is going to happen?
I definitely felt confident going into this game. I mean, these boys have the same mentality no matter who we're playing, and it's to do the best we can, especially in the playoffs, because we know if we lose, there's no tomorrow. So, you know, I felt like we didn't care who we were playing. We just wanted to play our brand of football and do the most we can.
Yeah, I'll go about that. Southington's a really well-coached team, and they had a couple wins over teams that had state championship appearances this year and victories. So, you know, we knew they were a great team, but we knew if we played our brand of football, nobody can beat us. And, you know, a couple losses in the regular season, you know, don't define our season. We knew that, and coming out with a state championship, it means a lot.
Do you look back on those games much? We'll see what happens. I did my vote last night for the final state poll, which I think will be released, and I would expect that you guys are going to be second or third. I don't know if you'll jump over Daniel Hand, which beat undefeated Killingly. I mean, I don't know. Does it even matter if you're second or third at that point, if you're not number one and just that you won a state championship?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really look at the polls all that much. Probably at the end of the season we will. But the goal is always just to win our state championship. And, you know, the regular season, it matters for seeding. And, you know, to devalue those games would be wrong. But we play every game with the intent to win. And but at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is the state championship. And elevating our play in the postseason is what we look to do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
Did it help you, or did it even make a difference? Your first two games were rematch games. You played Staples 6 days after you beat them on Thanksgiving and you blew them out. You played Fairfield Prep, which I was at the first meeting, opening game, and you blew them out, and then you blew out Southington. Do you even like rematches? I mean, I don't know if that's any fun when you get to a state playoff that you want to see anybody, but did it make it easier for you?
I mean, personally, I don't think it does make it easier on you. You got to keep having that mentality of we don't care who we're playing, we got to stay confident. And a lot of people sometimes they get wrapped up into this mindset. You know, we beat them once, we can do it again. I thought we did a great job in not having that mentality, having that same mentality, staying hungry, not getting complacent, and working our butts off to make sure we secure that state championship.
Yeah. Beating a team twice is never easy. And, you know, we just had that mentality that we did it once and we got to go prove that we can do it twice. And last year we got beat on Thanksgiving and Staples came back. We got beat on Thanksgiving. We came back and beat Staples in the playoffs. So we knew there was no easy path. And that's what we wanted. We wanted challenges.
I know you have a real, real tight senior class. What was the mood like? Was part of it, besides the satisfaction of the outcome, a little melancholy that it's the last time you guys are all going to be on the field together?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little sad, but there's no better way to go out with a state championship. And you know, we spent the night with each other last night and just taking in all the memories. And yeah, it means a lot. This program has given a lot to us, and it means a lot to go out with a state championship. There's no better way.
Yeah, I agree. There is no better way to do it than how we did it. But it is a little sad. You know, last time playing with all these boys, I've been playing with some of them since I was in third grade. But I'm just proud of how the season ended for sure.
We've had stories on both of you in the last 2 weeks. Colin, for you, this is your last football game. You've opted, even though you've got the ability to play in college, you've decided you want to go get the whole college experience and go to a bigger school. Was the emotions of your last football game heavy as well?
Yeah, obviously. It was tough going into it, but you know, you can't really let that overtake you before the game. You gotta lock in and make sure you're focused on the game. But you know, after the game, emotions hit me a little bit. But, you know, like I said before, there's no better way to go out with a ring, so.
Mm-hmm. Richie, I can't even imagine how badly you're looking forward to getting on the field and getting to go over down 95 to Sacred Heart and get the chance to play again.
Yeah, I mean, I told the coaches over there, I'm more hungry than I have ever been. I want to get on the football field so bad. And that last night just made it worse, you know, it made that feeling worse. So as soon as I get there, I know that I'm going to be giving 100% all I can do to get back on that field, because I'm sick and tired of standing on the sidelines, man.
Well, we want to see you back on the field. Well, I can close with you guys again the exact same way I did with New Canaan. You guys are, and the rest of the seniors as well. Unfortunately, with the weather, we couldn't get you all together. But you guys are just a real talented team. A class act. You guys have always been fun to be around and giving me a lot of great stories. So congratulations on what you did this year, your careers, and thanks for taking the time here and talking with us today.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Okay, that was Richie McMurray and Colin Fowler. We're going to take a break, and Sean will rejoin us, and we'll close out the season. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
The Rudin Report Live presents Sunday Morning Quarterback, a look at Connecticut high school football with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back. Final spot here and just a little housekeeping the news. This is the final episode of Sunday Morning Quarterback for the season. I'm going to take a break, and I get a couple of bye weeks, and then we will return January 4th, and Sunday morning quarterback becomes nothing but net. We'll have an FCAC boys basketball show as we have had the last few winters, and Mike Walsh will be back joining me. But let's finish up with football. And Sean, again, you heard those guys. It's as a sports writer, too, I've covered teams where teams are really successful, but they got jerks on it, and you don't necessarily like being around them. But it makes it a lot more fun for the media when you have really, really good guys and you get to be around it. It just makes the job more fun. And again, when you cover high school sports, in your case, you coach high school sports because you like being around kids. And when you get really good kids, it makes it that much more fun.
Yeah, and we've been very lucky, Dave. We recap every show. You'll call me and we talk about the guests, and every single week we say, man, those are just great kids. You know, there hasn't been one week where like, man, that kid was kind of, whatever. So, we've been lucky, you more than me, you've been lucky to cover these kids the whole year. But they're just tremendous kids off the field.
It's a lot of fun. So that's why we do it. If you're going to be around a team, I probably during the regular season, I covered everybody about all the top teams. I actually saw St. Joseph more than anybody because they have so many Saturday afternoon games. And I probably saw New Canaan, Greenwich, Wilton, all those teams a little bit more often. And then other than I didn't cover their semifinal, but with Thanksgiving, I covered three of the four New Canaan games. So I got to be around them a little bit more. And just, again, because I knew Lou, I know Lou so well, I would have loved to have just spent the whole week behind the scenes. I think that would be a cool story. Maybe someday I'll get to do that. But, again, it's just, those are great kids, the Greenwich kids. So as we put the bow on the 2025 football season, anything is, if you had to put a headline on the season, any ideas?
Just another year proving that we're the best league in the state.
That's a pretty accurate way of putting it. The FCAC, I think, was tied, tied with the SEC and SWC with having two state champions. You had two teams that got to the semifinals. You had nine teams make the playoffs. If you want to talk about what made the FCAC so special this year, it's not the two state champions. It's that you had nine teams make the playoffs. More than half the teams made the playoffs.
Yeah. And I know it's part of the game and it's unfortunate, but if Love doesn't get hurt, they're in the state finals, So that's another team that we should have been talking about this week, because they would have made the finals if Ludlow's quarterback Love didn't get hurt. But once again, the FCAC, this is where, are there great teams in the state? Of course there are. And by no means are we saying that there's not great teams outside the FCAC. We're just saying top to bottom, the FCAC is the best league in the state.
And we kind of saw yesterday, and one FCAC coach kind of pointed out their strength of competition compared to an FCAC school. And this is no way a knock, because we're double L and L schools and comparing to S schools. But Killingly was number two in the state and undefeated. And they went up against Daniel Hand yesterday and got beat pretty soundly. And amongst schools their own size, and that's really the way they should be measured. They shouldn't be compared to New Canaan or Greenwich. They should be compared to other schools their size. Killingly had a great team, but they ran up against a really good Daniel Hand team that we saw against St. Joseph opening day. And like I said, one FCAC coach said, because some people, because they were number two in the poll, were trying to compare Killingly to other FCAC schools, that you can't really do that.
No, you can't. It's not fair to them, and it's not fair to the FCAC schools. You look at our mid, you know, this year, you look at a Staples Darien. They had a down year for us. I guarantee if you put them in other conferences, they're going 8-2. You know, it's just what it is. You know, the numbers are proving it, that this is the best football. Killingly, very, very good. But I think if they're in the FCAC, you know, they're not going 9-0, 9-1. You know, they're going to have a couple losses on their schedule. It just is what it is.
You know, looking ahead to next year, one of the big changes was the FCAC attempted a balanced schedule, and it's not perfect. But number one, they addressed an issue, and they did a really good job. It still needs to be fine tuned a little bit, but I think the balanced schedule helped a lot. It'll be interesting to see, and I'm not going to use the time here. Obviously, to really have the best teams, you need to revise the way the state playoffs are. I get the sense by all the happiness we saw from the CIAC, that's not going to happen. Though it would be nice, but it from my standpoint certainly. And from the team standpoint, you want to play teams of your own capability more than have so many running clocks. So I think that was a big story. The FCAC's new schedule and the strides they made, and I think they'll listen to they'll get input from some of the coaches, and with just a couple of tweaks here or there, I think they did something that really improved football in the league.
Yeah, 100%, and it's something that needed to be done. It really did. Nobody wants to see Greenwich playing. I don't want to say. I'm just going to use teams this year that are at the bottom half. Nobody wants to see Greenwich playing Central. Nobody wants to see New Canaan playing West Hill. Nobody wants to see, you know, St. Joe's playing McMahon. They don't want to see it. You know, they don't want to see it. So they're making strides in the right direction. They made a lot of great strides. It's something that needed to be done. Needs to be tweaked a little bit because some of the people's schedules were just brutal. But you know, I have faith in the league leaders that they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, I agree. New Canaan doesn't get anything from playing a West Hill or a Bridgeport Central or Stanford as they were this year, and those lesser schools, they got a chance to, you know, they. Everybody won a game, so the balanced schedule, we didn't have any winless teams, and we do almost every year, and there were a couple of lower middle teams that got a few wins from playing light competition. So hey, it was a fun ride. We start late and we're saying, God, let's get this going. I'm also curious too, in the little time we have left, if anything, if there will be an outcry towards starting the season earlier and changing the way we do Thanksgiving games, either to try to have our cake and eat it too, starting earlier and play the games, or if there's a bigger cry that having a season that starts and ends earlier is bigger now than the Thanksgiving games, because it'll at least be discussed.
Yeah, it'll be discussed. I don't know. I know we talked to Mitch, Coach Ross, a couple weeks ago. He had an interesting idea, but I think if Thanksgiving football's here to stay, and I think it is. I think it just means too much to too many communities. I think it's tough not to go this late, unless somebody comes up with some idea like Mitch had, you know, starting the season a week earlier. You know, get rid of the bye week. All that stuff has to come into play. But I don't see the CIAC getting rid of the bye week. Will they start earlier? Yeah, they could. I could see them being flexible with that. But I know they had a real push on the bye week, so I don't know if they would get rid of that, which obviously extends a week, extends the season by another week.
Sean, it's been a fun ride. There's nobody else I'd rather take it with. Thanks a lot for doing this. It's a lot of fun, and we'll have contract talks and get you re-signed for next year.
Dave, I can't thank you enough. You know, on behalf of everybody, not many people do as much what they do for high school sports as much as you do, and you're doing it for the love of it, and we all thank you.
Thanks, Sean. That means a lot. And that's the end of the season of Sunday Morning Quarterback, which is brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. Thanks, everybody, for listening and taking the ride. We'll be back next year. We'll be back with nothing but net in January. Until then, happy holidays, everybody.